We're going to be back in Acts chapter 6 tonight, meeting one of my heroes of the Bible, one who I look up and say that if I could examine my life, I would want it to be like his. Maybe not all of it, but most of it I would. And tonight we're going to be looking at primarily Stephen. As you remember, last week when we left off, the church had grown so big that the 12 just were not able to fit and do all the duties that they needed to be and continue on their primary job and goal as of preaching the gospel. So they sent the Hellenists out and said, look, we need people from among you. We need seven men. And they brought these seven men, and Stephen was one of these. Stephen's probably the most recognizable of the seven that was chosen, but I'm sure all the others did just as much, you know, as he did, but he's just one that stands out. And we're going to talk about him today. You know, Acts chapter 6 marks a transition in the early church history. The first five chapters have been predominantly looking at Peter, his role in the church in Jerusalem, and all that right there. And now we have Stephen, who does a transition of Peter, who was primarily, he spoke to the Jews. Stephen now goes, and he's primarily going to go speak to the foreign Jews, and then he has the luck of being in between two titans of our faith. He's in between Peter, and he's right there in between Paul. But he's that transition because we're only primarily talking to Jews, then we go to the foreign Jews, to now we're eventually going to get to Paul, who goes wherever throughout the entire Roman Empire. So we have that right here where Stephen is that transition of showing that, hey, we're going to move. Our mission's going to spread out. We're not just going to stay and focus right here in Jerusalem or just not on the Jews, but we're going to go tell this message to the world because the world needs to hear it. Stephen had to be trusted by the 12 because it concludes right there, if you look up in verse 6, that they set before the apostles, and that's all those seven men, and they prayed and they laid their hands on him, on them. So that means Stephen did have their approval. He met those requirements. We'll look at that in a minute. But he was one that they had confidence that could go out and do the job. We're going to look at primarily the rest of chapter 6 is 8 through 15 tonight. So let's read that one. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and those from Sicily and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Stephen and the bold example that he gives you. We pray that as we go out and we get our wisdom from you, that people will look out and they will see that our face is like that of an angel because we are doing your work. We just thank you for these great examples. We just pray now that you clear our hearts, open our minds so that we may study and hear from your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at three things of what we can learn from Stephen in these seven, eight verses right here. And the first one is that Stephen was in good disposition. Or Stephen was in good character. He was right there. His character was one that could not be, you know, spoken evil against. They couldn't say, well, hey, he does this on Wednesday, on Sundays, but he acts like this Monday through Saturday. Stephen was not that man. He was full of grace and power and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. That God knew that his character was great, so he gave him these abilities to do these great signs and these one. You know, and Peter, you know, Peter and the 12, I believe they knew, hey, we're getting bigger. But as we get bigger, you know, we need people of good character. You know, that was one of the requirements, that they had to be able to stand that trial of if somebody were to come and speak evil against them, they could say, no, that's not true, and people would believe it. You know, he didn't have this. Well, I saw him out the other night doing this, but on Sunday he was telling me to do this. That's not how Stephen was. And they knew that, you know, with people acting one way and then they have sinned and, you know, done some things, you know, they'll look at Stephen and say, you know, he's done this, but he's trying his hardest not to continue, because we're going to continue to do that. We're all going to mess up. But they saw Stephen as one who's not just sitting there just repeatedly doing it and saying, hey, don't do it. But as he does it himself, his character was better than that. He had the integrity. He had all that from God that said, you know what, I'm changing my life. Yeah, I still might screw up. I still might mess up. But I'm doing everything I can with God's grace to fix it. And that's what Stephen was doing. That's why his character was so high, because people could see that. That was from him. That was from God, as God transformed him. You know, I don't say how he was prior to this. We don't meet Stephen prior to being chosen. But we can see that he probably was a Jew, so he had that, their customs, and there's no telling what he did or how he lived his life. But at this point, he's been transformed by God, and his character is one that people cannot argue. It was a great character. And that was important at this time. You know, you have an early church, one that's trying to get its foothold into a society where 99% of the people want to kill you or want you out. So they needed these men of good character, these men that you could not speak evil against, that said one thing and they acted that way. You know, if they told you don't do it, they didn't do it themselves. Because there's no greater way to have your testimony, your witness, you know, shot down than when you can go and say, hey, you don't need to be out there, you know, drinking. You don't need to be out there cussing. Well, I just saw you last night at a bar cussing like a sailor and drinking three or four. You know, how can you tell me not to do that, but then you do it? Stephen was not that man. His character was better than that, because he knew that as he spoke, he reflected God, and he wanted all that to be in a positive way. He didn't want people to stumble. He didn't want people to say, you know what, if that's a Christian like Stephen, then I don't want no part of it. But his character, because of who he was and the way God transformed him, it was one that could not be argued against, that people could say him and said, there's something different about him. I want to know what it is. And they would go and listen to Stephen, and Stephen would be able to talk to them, you know. And that's what Stephen did. He carried the grace. He had full grace and power, and he went amongst the people. He didn't just sit there and say, you know, I'm just going to do this one duty. Hey, you told me to look after these people, and that's all I'm going to do. That's not what Stephen did. He continued to go off, and he wanted to do God's mission. You know, as we have his good character, we also see that he met the requirements put out in the early parts of verses of chapter 6. You know, we have that he had to be a man. He had to be from among them. Good reputation, full of spirit, and full of wisdom. Stephen meets all those. We see right here in just these first few verses that Stephen will meet all those requirements. You know, like I said, these are the first ones that are chosen outside of the 12 to lead the church. You have these 12 that are chosen, 11 of them that were here were directly chosen by God, and then the one that replaced, you know, Judas, he was there. But with these 12, now you finally are having people that you need to pick to lead these sections. Stephen was in that first group. He was a standard bearer. You know, when we set this up, future generations, this is what they need to compare it to. They need to compare it to Stephen. As Stephen was one that met all these requirements, we didn't bring him and just say, hey, you know what, he met three of the five. He made a majority, so he's good enough, right? No, he's not. He met all five of them. Because he was a standard bearer and he had to set the standard. And it's a high standard. It's one that he had to carry. That he had to know that, look, I'm looked at upon, you know, people that are under me. I have to make sure that I keep my character right. You know, some say, well, it's not fair to hold them to a higher standard. And it absolutely is fair to hold them to a higher standard. If you're chosen to lead God's people, then you're going to be held to a higher standard and expected. And you should be. And that's what Stephen, because he met all these requirements, he had no problem doing that. You know, come at me, I don't care. Because I have the faith. I have the full wisdom that comes only from God. I have that reputation from among the men of one that would do the right thing, even when nobody was watching. That was Stephen. He met those requirements. It was important that those first seven met those requirements so that 100 years later, hopefully, they would still be in saying, look, Peter set these five standards were set out. You know, they made sure that they kept them, that they met all five, so we need to do the same thing. Because if you compromise at the beginning, 100, 200 years or later, they're probably just looking for maybe one of five. Maybe just a man, and that's it. As it goes down, as you get further and further away from that first one, you're liable to compromise a little bit more and more and more. But they want to say, look, we're not compromising, so you don't need to compromise. And that is why Stephen meeting those five requirements was highly important. But we also see that his mission was God's mission. You know, when Jesus left the earth, his thing was go tell the world. Go to the ends of the world. Don't just sit around. Don't just not do nothing. Go tell others about me. The Great Commission, as we call it, that is God's will for every Christian. It might not be your job that you do, like as being a missionary, but your job is to go tell others, whether it be at the supermarket, whether it be at a baseball game or you know, whatever you go to during the week. You should be telling others about God because that's what you need to do. And that's what Stephen did. You know, Stephen did not have no proper training. He was not one that set through the classes of how to be a missionary, how to be this or how to be that. But that wasn't going to stop Stephen. Stephen had that eagerness, that wanting to go out and spread the word. And I'm sure he had people telling him, hey, calm down. We're new at this. Let's get training from the 12. Let's let them teach us so that we can go on. But that wasn't, you know, that wasn't what Stephen wanted to do. He committed. He went out. He did wonders. He did signs among them. So much that he even started to go into the synagogues. He went to where lost people were. He didn't just sit around and say, well, hopefully maybe one might just come to me and then I can tell him. No, he went to them. He went and told them about Jesus, told them what they needed to know. He told them the truth. And that's what Stephen did. And he wanted his mission to be God's mission. You know, it wasn't Stephen's mission that he came up with it. He's not the first one to come up and say, you know what, we need to go tell the lost people. No, he's just responding to God's call. And that is to go tell a lost world. That's what every Christian, every believer should do, is go tell that, go tell someone about Jesus. And that's exactly what Stephen did. He didn't hang around. He didn't wait. You know, God also calls us to be obedient. You want to be obedient to God, then go tell others. Because that's what he called you to do. Stephen did that. He was obedient. He knew that he must obey God. He needed to obey God. Everything that he probably was taught up until that point said you need to obey God. You know, even going through, if you go back to his Jewish heritage of, you got to follow the laws and the statutes. If you follow these, you keep these, I will bless you. Well, now he's got a different standard. Now he's got now he's got Christ and what he did, but he still knows that he still must obey God. And God told them, hey, go out, tell others. So Stephen knew that he needed to be obedient, one, so that God can bless him. Might not be the way we think of blessing, but he knew that he wanted God to bless him, and the best way to do that is to be obedient to God. And he'll bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Might not be how we think of it as a blessing, but it will be a blessing, you will know. And that's what Stephen did, is he went out, he sought these people out. He wanted to tell them about God, about Jesus. Hey, let me tell you about a man that died just for you. He wanted to go to them because he wanted that to be his mission, because it was God's mission. And as you read later on in chapter 7, you're going to realize that his message, his sermon, it matched up what he believed. You know, he was one who's going to go tell them about God. He didn't care who he offended. He was going to tell them the truth. You know, and by doing God's mission, by going out and doing what you're supposed to do, he's given us a great example of what a character of a Christian should look like. One that is obedient and faithful to God. And that means going out and telling others. And that's what Stephen did. Stephen was also determined. You know, like I said, at this point, he does not have any formal training. He was probably, there's no telling how long he was under Peter. You know, if you go off of Jesus dying about 31 to 32 AD, it's believed that Stephen died in 34 AD. So you're looking at maybe 1 to 2 years is all that he would have. We don't even know if that 1 to 2 years was right there under Peter. We don't know how long it was. But that didn't stop him. That did not stop his wanting, his eagerness to want to go out. He just said, you know what, I'm going. God called me to go, I'm going. And like I said, I'm pretty sure that he had people telling him, let's wait so that we don't stumble. Hey, let's get more training and more training. Well, Stephen was like, no, I don't need that. You know why? Because I can go and I can read. I can read the scriptures. I can read this. I can get all the training that I need right there. Just like we do, we have direct access to the God that wrote this book. And he can train you better than any man or any book can. Just go to him. And I'm sure that's what Stephen did. Hey, Father, help me. Tell me what you want me to teach. Tell me what you want me to preach. Tell me how you want me to go out and tell them. Give me the words. Give me the wisdom. And as we're going to read off, that's exactly what God did. Stephen asked it and God did it. You ask him, God, give me the courage, the wisdom, the ability to know what I need to say at this time and that time. And he'll give it to you. Because as you read more and more, he's going to point stuff out and say, and it'll point out and it'll come out in your mind saying, you know what, when I get in this situation and somebody asks me a question, I can show them this passage. And that comes through the studying of God's word, studying it and just living it. And you can go out and you can be more determined to go out just like Stephen was. He didn't have that training from a college or a seminary, but he did have training from the man that wrote the book. You know, his training was going to talk to God. That's what I believe, at least. And that's why he went out. That's why he did not let those other six, or maybe even those that he was under, stop him from going out. He went straight to there. He went straight to a synagogue. And just to listen here, he probably went to three different synagogues. You know, and he went and he said, look, I'm going to tell you, and what I'm going to tell you is going to turn your world upside down. Because it's going to go against everything that you believe. But I'm going to tell you about a man and what he did. And that's what Stephen did. Nothing was going to stop him. He was determined from the word go. That I'm going to go out regardless of what it cost me. And we're going to see later on what it did cost Stephen. And that's what he wanted to do. But as we go out, as we're determined to go out and spread his word, there's things that we got to look for that they're going to do. That the ones that we're going out to speak with, the stuff they're going to bring out. And the first one is they're going to argue with him. You know, just like they're going to argue with us. As we read here, it says, you know, they rose up and disputed with Stephen. Now, that's not, they got out of their chairs, they started hollering, they started screaming. It was no. The word that's used here for rose up and disputed is they had a formal debate. You know, I'm pretty sure in their minds they're thinking, we got him. He's untrained, uneducated, he knows nothing. We are at the top of our fields. We are the ones that people come and ask for advice. So we got him. So Stephen said, you know what? Stephen agreed. He said, let's do it. He said, let's have a debate. You, all y'all against me. I'm not scared at all because I'm determined to do God's work. And that means I'm going to tell you the truth. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't have that training. He didn't have any of what the Sanhedrin or the priest had, but he still went out. And they will argue with us. They will want to debate us. And what's the best way to know how to defeat them? And that is you got to read the word. You got to spend time daily with God. You got to be nourished. You got to have that spiritual nourishment that comes with only spending time with God. As you spend time with him, he will give you the determination, the words, the wisdom to want to go out and share his word. And that's what Stephen did. He knew that God was right there with him. He knew that his wisdom would come from God and God alone. And he knew that because that wisdom comes from God, that he didn't have to worry about anything else. That he can defeat any man, any priest, any whatever it was. He'll gladly take him on. And that's what he did. And that's how we have to be ready. We have to be ready because as we go out, especially today, people are going to argue with us because we're going against what the world says okay. But the best way for us is to read and study. We got to do just like Stephen did. He set that example for us so many years ago. Be ready, but don't be scared. Go out there and speak. Let God do mighty and great things through you. And he will. And that's what he did through Stephen. Even though Stephen was just a, we don't know really what he did before then, but he was just a man that had no training, no education. He don't have the resources that we have today. But he was still willing to go out, as should we. Everything, you know, he taught about it. We don't really know what the debate was about. We do know because of the charges was that he probably talked about Jesus, the death, the resurrection, and the fact that the old law does not apply to us anymore. So he went right into where they were, and he shook them up. He told them he probably offended some people. He made some people mad, and they wanted to argue him. They wanted to debate him, but that's what's going to happen when you go out and tell people the truth. They're not going to want to hear it because they don't, originally, they're probably not going to want to hear it because you're changing their whole lifestyle. But Stephen kept at it. He kept at it, and that's what we got to do. So not only did they argue, they were astonished at his knowledge. We don't know what the debate was about, but we do know that he won. And he probably spanked them. He made them look bad, is what I'm guessing. Because when you read what they their response to what happened, he probably made them look foolish. They had all the training. The odds were in their favor. There was no way this man's going to walk off the street and tell us and beat us in a debate. No way. But he did. He got right in there. He debated them. He wasn't scared. He wasn't worried about nothing because he knew where his power came from. He went in. He talked to them. He went against what they were doing. He said, look, this is the truth. This is what we need. This is what, hey, and God's done it for you. He did it for me and he died for you as well. That's all you need. We don't have to follow these old sets of laws. Just look the way they pointed. How can, you know, this pointed right to Jesus. And that's what he did. He lived that life. He came, he lived, and he died for you. And he rose 3 days later. And that is what probably some of the debate Stephen was going to tell. Well, that's probably some of the debate that they had. But all we do know is really that he won. We might not know the details, but that he won. The Spirit was leading, as we see in verse 10, they could not withstand the wisdom and the Spirit which he was speaking. There's two folds of the Spirit that he was using. One was the Holy Spirit. He had that full of Spirit, that full of the power that comes from God and God alone. He had that with him, which allowed him to go into a place where they had all the training and he didn't win. But then he also had the Spirit. It's kind of he spoke with energy. He spoke with zeal. You know, when you go tell somebody, if you're looking down, if you're barely speaking, they're not going to believe you have confidence in what you're saying. Stand up. Be loud. Look them in the eyes. You tell them, hey, let me tell you what God did. And you say, well, I want to make sure I don't mess up. Well, how do you know that you don't mess up? You study beforehand. You go and you make sure you know it by heart. Because one day it's going to come, somebody's going to ask you, and you're not going to have that sheet of paper. But you got to speak it with energy. You got to speak it with zeal, the same way that Stephen did. He spoke with the confidence of what he was saying was true. He knew it was true and wasn't nobody going to tell him any different. And that is what he did. That's what we need to do as we go out and we speak to others. Speak it with confidence. Because if you don't have confidence in what you believe, they're not going to have confidence either. They're going to say, well, he don't even truly believe it because look at the way he's talking. Does he really believe it? Well, if he don't, then I'm surely not going to. So you have to have confidence as you go out and as you tell others so that they will say, you know what, there's something about that. Just, you know, the way he's talking, the way he's passionate about it. I want to learn more about that. And that's what Stephen did here. He was just confident. He was passionate about it, of doing God's work, of doing God's mission. He wanted to go out there and he wanted to speak. And that's what he did. God gave him the words, and he made these people on this council, on that debate team, look foolish because he came in there untrained and he beat them. So they will argue with us. They will be astonished by your knowledge, because the wisdom that comes from God. But they also advocated for false statements. And this is how we know that they lost. If they didn't lose, if they won, they wouldn't need to go and get somebody to make up lies against him. They could just say, see, we destroyed his argument. We tore him down right there. But no, because of that knowledge, because of that wisdom that he had, they lost. Now they had to go to plan B, and that was to go get people. Go start spreading lies. Go get people to say lies. Tell him to say that he said this, even though he really never did say it that way. And that is what we did. That's how we know that they lost, how they were made foolishness, because they had to go to plan B, which was just to go out and attack his character, attack that he's going to make false statements. But because of Stephen's character and it was so high and already in a good position, people wouldn't believe it. But especially the ones that are outside and the ones that are really hearing it, they will say, well, no, that's a man of good character. I don't believe he's just going to lie. And that is why our character is a key point, a key part of sharing the gospel. As we see in verse 11, he says, then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Well, we can see right here that if you read it that way, they were more concerned about what he said about Moses than he did about God. Hey, he talked about Moses, our greatest prophet. He said that all that stuff that he was given, all those laws that he set down are no longer valid. They're void. Hey, we can't allow that. Oh, yeah, and God too. kind of how that can be read. Because he went in and he was turning the world upside down. They said, we got to, hey, go out there and tell them that he did these false things. He spoke against Moses. He spoke against God. And then they'll believe us. And the way they reacted, as it says, you know, in verse 12, that they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. That seize, it's a violent seize. You know, they didn't go to him and said, hey, Stephen, look, you're under arrest. We're going to take you to jail. No, they violently seized him because they spread the lies that he was talking about Moses. You know, I guess a visual that you can use today of how mad they would be was the same as if you were to go to the Middle East and say something bad about Muhammad. The way they get angry and the way that they want to just come after you, well, that's the same reaction that they had here because he spoke out evil against Moses. Because he spoke out evil against God, as they're saying. They didn't want no part of it. They wanted to go after him and they wanted to violently get him and bring him before the council. Let them come up. Let's take him before them so they can sentence him to death, so they can get rid of him, because that's the penalty for speaking against God was death in their courts, in their laws. So if we bring him here and we say that he said these things, these false statements, you know, nobody's going to not believe us because we're part of their group. So he went out, and that's what they did. They seized him, they took him to jail, and he probably had to sit there for a couple days. Because they had to coach their people. They had to say, look, this is what we need to bring before the council. We need to make sure that he says this. And they make sure we have the right ones that can go up and say, look, I heard him say this. I heard him say that. And that's what they're going to do to us one day. Well, I heard them speaking out against this practice or this belief. Hey, they're saying that not everybody goes to heaven. They're saying not everybody, you know, that if you do this act that you're condemned to hell. Oh, no, we're not saying it. God said it. And we have to go out and we have to make sure that our character is so that people will not believe when these false rumors are spread against us. That's why it's important for you to make sure your character is intact and your integrity is intact, so that as you go out and you speak the words and somebody says, nah, I heard him say this, or I heard him do that, they're going to say, nah, that's not him. I know for a fact that's not him. You're just spreading false rumors. But they're going to get these ones that are willing to go before the council, that are willing to lie and willing to say, yep, I heard him said this, he said that, so we need to throw him in jail. And those are the ones that got it, and those are the ones that are going to come after us one day. The ones that they're going to say, they said this, so then they're going to violently come out and get us. It's not here yet, but it's coming. One day it will be here. But we have to continue to preach the word, continue to preach truth, continue to preach God's grace, just as Stephen did. As we're going to learn in chapter 7, because he was violently arrested, he was probably threatened with everything, his life, his family, whatever. It didn't stop him from continuing to preach, continuing to do God's message. You know, so they have him in jail. They have him. They have their witness coached. And if you notice here in the verse 14, it says, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth. Why would they say it that way? Because they held anybody from Nazareth in the lowest of standards. Hey, they're speaking about this Jesus of Nazareth. He's from that area, so he's worthless anyways. So they are coming and they are bringing these false things. They're saying he will destroy this place. He will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. They're twisting his words. You got to make sure that they can't twist your words. You got to make sure that what you speak is truth and that it's in clarity so that they will understand they can't twist your words. Well, that's what they're going to do with Stephen, but Stephen's going to shoot back at them in chapter 7, as we'll look at later. But they argued and they went against him, but they were astonished at his acknowledgement. They knew that he was truthful. If they didn't, then they would not have had to get false witness. If he did not beat them in their formal debate, then they would never have had to get false witness. They could have just arrested him right then. Went and took him into jail. But that's what it's going to take eventually for us, is people are going to say they're, you know, it's going to be outlawed that you might not be able to say this or say that. But we must be like Stephen. We must continue to do God's work, continue to do God's mission, and that is to carry his word to the lost. That's all Stephen was, you know, Stephen was preaching. The hope and peace that comes from God and God alone. And that's what we got to preach. Preach what Jesus did. You know, we have to be determined, no matter what it cost us, to carry that message. Because when Stephen is freed here, he would never again be a freed man here on earth. He would spend the rest of, it's not much longer, but he'd spend the rest of his life in jail, and then he would be killed. But that didn't stop him. He was willing to pay the price. You have to decide now, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to step up like Stephen would and go and debate them, even if it cost your freedom or even if it cost your life? He was. But not only now, we can see that he had good character, he was determined, but that Stephen's demeanor was right before God and that God approved his mission. Verses 15. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. You know, I can picture him standing, sitting in the courtroom, letting all of them go, hey, just go spread your lies, man after man after man after man. And he's just sitting there quiet because he knows God's going to do his work. He's not worried about what they're doing. And as his turn, as he's calm, he's just sitting there. He's not screaming, you know, hey, they're lying about me. No, that's not true. That's not what I said. He knows his time's coming to speak. He's going to sit there. But then he also noticed that as he is, verse 15, how they view Stephen is something that's only happened one other time in history. And that is Moses. Who that when people look upon him, they could see the face of angel. In other words, they can see God's glory. That God was saying that this man is telling the truth, and I approve of every word that he said. So much that I'm going to give my glory. I'm going to put my glory on him so that you will see him. And though you might not believe, you will know that he has God's approval. And that's what God did for Stephen right there. Because Stephen was determined. Stephen said, no matter what, I'm going to carry the message of what Jesus did for me on the cross to the lost world. He did that, so God approved of it, and everybody was just amazed at it. They were saying, you know, as they see this face of an angel, wondering how, you know, when he's supposedly speaking lies, you know, how can God give him the glory when he's speaking the lies? Now, I believe there was some in that courtroom, one of them in particular being Saul, that I believe saw that, and while it would be a little while later, I believe it was that seed that was planted. As we're going to look at later, like I said, Stephen has that privilege of being right there in between the two titans of our faith, Peter and Paul. But he got something that either one of them never got, and that was for people to see, look at him, and see God's glory on him. And if we are willing to go out and do God's work, I believe he'll do it again. People will realize that what you're speaking and what you're talking about is from God. Let me ask you to pray with me.